And we're holding the last word of Samach Beis Amud Beis. We've been discussing the whole matter of a person worships Avodah Zarah using any of the four Avodahs, which we said are supposed to be reserved to Eshvar Hashem, well, three Avodahs and bowing down. And we learned yesterday, Braisa, that Rav Zakeh had said, two versions of a Braisa, according to which if he does all more than one of these things, the Helam Echad, in one period of not knowing, then he'd be chayav one Chatas, and Rav Yochanan had disagreed with that and said he'd be chayav separate Chataris for each one. In the course of that, we mention a statement of Rav Ami that says a similar thing. Rashi and Tosfos discuss that a difference between them is that Rav Zakeh had mentioned all four things, Zibuach, Kitu, Nisuch, and Hishtachavah, whereas Rav Ami is not mentioning Hishtachavah. But Rav Ami is saying that if a person were to do three of them, the Zibuach, the Kitu, and the Nisuch, all of which we said, we have one pasuk that says, don't shech to Avodah Zarah, Zeveach Lelekim Yochram, in this week's parasha, and from that we learned also Kitur and Nisuch, then those would all be in the same category. So now the Gemara says Gufa, so let's getting back to that and analyzing what Rav Ami said. That if he does these three things in one Helam, then he'd be chai of only one Chatas. So in other words, so here we don't have Ishtachavah, because, fine, we said Ishtachavah, as we learned yesterday at length, Ishtachavah, L'chalik Yotza, it's coming to tell us that each individual thing, if he does know about them individually, then he'd be chayev for each one of them. Meaning if he knows that, so if he knows this is Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't know that, but he doesn't know that these separate things are also teir, then he would be chayev one chatas, but other than that, zibuach, kitur, and nisuch would be all in one category, and therefore he'd be bringing only one chatas for them. Amar Abaye, my time is Rav Ami. So Abaye says, why does Rav Ami say that? Omar Kro lo solved them, because the pasuk says generically, don't worship them. Hakosav asaron kolon avoda achas, meaning that with that the Torah is making all these different kinds of avodas to be one thing. So therefore he's only chayev. Only one chatas for them. Now there is actually a good deal of discussion about so Rashi mentions over here this point that Rashi explains over here this point that the fact that the Gemara is saying that it says loisa ovdim, but the question is that the question is that before we said so first of all, how many times does it say loisa ovdim and then. And what are we learning from each one of them? Actually, you know what? That's later on, actually, when we talk about Shaloi Kadarka. So we'll deal with that later on the Amud. Okay. In any case, so Abaye is saying that's why, because it says Loisa Ovdem, don't worship them. So therefore that includes all the Avodas. So therefore for that purpose, they're considered one Avoda. So we would say, in other words, Hishtachavah is L'chalak Yotza, as we said, it means that it's singled out. If a person bows to the Avodah Zarah, even though it's Behelam Echad with the other ones, then he does bring a Chatas for that, but not necessarily that he'd be Chayev individually for the other Avodahs. So the question is, Umi Omar Abaye Hochi, did Abaye really say that? But Abaye himself says, why does it say three times in connection with Avodah Zarah does it say lois shachaveh? Now you have like this, the three times it actually explains are in the Aseret HaDibros, and then you have in our parasha lois shachaveh lelekehem, and you have later on in Parshas Kisisa, you have ki lois shachaveh lekelacher. Rashi points out, really, I mean, in a way, you have a fourth, because the Aseret HaDibros are repeated in Parshas Yisroel and again in Parshas Vayeshanan, but that we don't really consider separate, because that's Moshe is repeating over to the Jewish people what he had heard at Har Sinai, as we talked about the other day. We don't say. We talked about last week when we talked about Parshat Tzivcha, Hashem Alekecha, but it says in some of the Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Yisroel, we had explained over there, it didn't mean that Moshe, or actually Rashi had said there, it doesn't mean that Moshe is telling them something, is adding his own words to the Aseret HaDibros. You should know you were already commanded these things by 40 years ago by Har Sinai. Rather, what the Hashem himself is saying, Hashetivcha, Hashem Alekecha, namely that you were commanded in Mora, and from there we learn that that a couple of these mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kibbutz Avraham, were already given to them in Mora a few weeks before Matan Torah. In any case, the same thing over here, just because it says Loisa of them in the first Dibros and in the second, that's all considered one thing. But we have two other psukim. So Abaye says that altogether you have three times where it says not to worship of a desara, lama. So why do we have three of them? Achas l'kedarka, one teaches us when it's the normal way to worship the Avodah Zarah by bowing to it. V'achas shaloi kedarka, another one tells us when it's not the normal way to worship it. For example, let's say pa'ur, which is worshipped in other ways. V'achas l'chalik, and the third one is telling us to l'chalik, to tell us that each one is individually a chatas for itself. So the same way as the shtachavah, like we learned yesterday about havora on Shabbos, that once it says havora separately, then it means that we see from that a person is chayv a chatas for that. Then we learn he's chayv a chatas individually for each of the other malachas. Rabbi says the same thing is true as far as the avodas of avodah zarah, that it'd be chayv individually for each one. So then, Abaye is telling us that that a person does bring a chatas separately for each one. So what is Abaye explaining that Rav Ami says because it says loisa of them? And the answer is l'dvar of Rav Ami kama v'loy leisvirle. It means that Abaye is explaining what Rav Ami holds, but he himself doesn't agree with that. He himself holds that there's a separate chatas for each one. So what would Abaye do with the so he says that you have the loisa of James is teaching us so he would hold that the fact that it says loisa of James again means there's extra lavim involved. Rav Ami is going to say that it means lav yotza, and Abaye is going to say that it means that there's extra lavim involved if a person does bow to Avodah Zarah. Tosfos points out that earlier a couple of blocks ago we had where we needed another pasuk when the Avodah Zarah is usually not worshipped in an honorable way, when it's worshipped in a degrading way like Baal Pa'ur and Merkulis, where there we said we needed a pasuk to tell us that there's a punishment for bowing to it, but once we see that once we see by the Azhara, then we know the same is true by Onish, so therefore so one of Abaye's psukim over here is being used to tell us that there's an Azhara, that there's a warning not to do that. Okay, so fine. So Rav Ami holds that there's only, so Rav Ami holds the maximum that a person could get, the Halam Echad, as far as Chatois is true. If he were to bow to Avodah Zarah and do the other three Avodas, all the Halam Echad, then he'd be bringing one Chatos for the bowing and one to cover everything else. Now, Gufa, getting back to what Abaye himself said, Omer Abaye Sholosh Shtachavaris Ba'avodas Chachavim Lama, he said, why does it say three times about bowing by Avodah Zarah? Achas L'Kedarka V'Achas Sholosh K'Darka V'Achas L'Chalik. So we have these three, one to tell us that where it's the normal way of worshipping it, one where it's not the normal way, and the third tells us that every one individual is a lav, and therefore is a chatas. The question is, why does he need one of them for Kedarka? L'Kedarka me'echa yavdu agoyim ha'ela nafka. Don't we learn that if it's Kedarka, if it's the normal way of worshipping that Avodah Zarah, then he doesn't need a posik for that. He doesn't need a pasuk for that. We have that automatically from the words Eicha Yavdu Agoyim Eila. How do these nations worship their gods? And I'm going to think to do the same thing. And the Torah is telling you don't do that. So you don't need a pasuk for anything that's Kedarka. So if it happens that this particular Avodah Zarah is worshipped by bowing to it, then we don't need a pasuk to tell us that he's chayav for that. We have the other pasuk. So Ella, fine. What Abaye means is achas kedarka vishaloi kedarka. One of them teaches us whether it's when he bows, whether it's kedarka or shaloi kedarka, meaning whether it's something that's normally worshipped. It you could have kedarka, kedarka vishaloi kedarka. Rashi explains, meaning in other words that it's we're not talking about Avodah Zarah that's worshipped in a degrading way like Baal Pa'ur and Merkulis. What we mean is, let's say there's an Avodah Zarah that's worshipped in a different honorable way, but people don't usually bow to it. So let's say, for example, people do other kinds of honor. Okay? Say, for example, we learned in the Mishnah, you have, for example, hugging and kissing it. So we said a person who hugs and kisses an Avodah Zarah, where it's not normal to worship it that way, then he's not Chayav Misa, then he's only over a lav for that. But now let's say the other way around. What if the Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped by kissing, and he goes and bows to it? So it's kedarka, v'shalei kedarka. On the one hand, it's kedarka because it's normal to worship it in an honorable way, but shalei kedarka because the fact is people don't worship it by bowing. So therefore, so Rashi explains that so it has to mention that point. So in other words, it's one thing when if we didn't have all these psukim, we would have thought that's fine. In a case like that, he's chaya for bowing to it because at least it's worship normally in an honorable way. Let's say by kissing. But now, what if you have for example Baal Pa'ur, which is worshipped in a very degrading way, and not only does nobody bow to it, nobody does anything honorable to it. So you would think that maybe he's potter for that. Therefore, you need these psukim to be telling us that. And then Rashi goes on to say that we did say before that if a person shechts a korban to Pa'ur Merkulus, then he's chayev. So once we see that a person even bows to such an avodah zarah, then kavu choymer if he shechts it. But we can't learn all from ishtachavah, because again then it would mean everything that's covered, and we learned in the Mishnah that everything that's covered is not unless it's a normal way of worshipping it. So the bottom line is that we need all the psukim that we're talking about. We need one to tell us where it's normal to worship the Avodah Zarah honorably, but not by bowing, and he bows to it, but nevertheless he's chayev, because bowing is one of the four Avodahs. We also need separately to be told that if he worships an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped in a degrading way, like Merkulis, and instead he bows or shechts it, then we need two different psukim to tell us that he's chayev, one to tell us that that's true even of bowing, and the other one to tell us that that it's true only of the other three Avodahs, which are done in the Bais Mikdash, and not anywhere else. So one teaches us kedarka v'shalei kedarka, where it's normal to worship it in an honorable way, but not by bowing. The achas l'shaloi kedarka. Another one is, for example, where the avodah zarah is always worshipped in a degrading way, such as throwing stones at it or going to the bathroom in front of it. And the achas l'chalik. And the third one tells us that he's chayav an individual chatas for each one. So Abaya is saying that's what you need the three psukim for. So again, according to him, you don't have the point that Rab Ami was saying that there could be a case where he does separate avoidus and he's chayav only one chatas. In fact, he would be chayav a separate chatas for each one, and that's what we learn from one of the loitza of games. We can't learn everything from Ishtachavah, otherwise we would say hugging and kissing is included as well, which is why we need the Pasuk Zeveach, which is why we need the Pasuk to teach us that we learned a couple of days ago that if he sacrifices to Merkulis, for example, he'd still be Chayav, Zeveach Le'elekim Yachvaram, but we can't learn that from Ishtachavah, because then it would end up including everything. Okay. So that's that. So in short, we have different opinions on the subject when a person does these various avodas behelam echad. According to Rav Zakkai's Braisa, we said he does all four things behelam echad. He's bringing only one chatas. According to Rav Ami, he's bringing two, one for the ishtachavah and one to cover everything else. And according to Abaya, he's bringing a separate, chatas for each one. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said, "Hamakabler olav belika." That another case where a person is chayiv misa for avodah zarah is where he accepts it on him as a god. Ha'omele keliyata, he says, "Say you are my god." Which, as we talked about in the Mishnah, Rashi says there's two possibilities. When the Mishnah had said ha'omele keliyata, might just be an explanation. What does it mean, "Hamakabler olav belika"? What does it mean he accepted as a god, namely where he says keliyata? Or the other possibility Rashi had said in the Mishnah is there are two separate things. One is talking about when the avodah zarah is not present, and he says, "I accept such and such as keli." And the other one is where he's actually in front of it and says Keliata. In any case, the point is that we're saying that either way, by saying that he accepts it as his God, then already he's Chayiv Skila. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, Omer Rav, Omer Rav, Kivin Sha'omah Le, Keli Ato Chayev. Once he says, Tadavah Dezara, you are my God, then he's Chayev. So I'm going to ask Lamai, as far as what is Rav saying that? Ilik Tola, is Rav saying that to tell us that then he's Chayev Nisa? There's no Chiddush in it, Masnis in it. That's exactly what the Mishnah had said. Elul Korban. So evidently we have to say that what Rav Nachman is telling us in the name of Rav is the fact that he'd be chayav a korban. If he didn't know that's also to do such a thing, then he's bringing a chatas to, then he's bringing a chatas for such a thing. So the question is, v'afilu l'rabbanon. Now, are you telling me that that would work even according to the chachamim, who as we're going to go on to say, now you have like this. The Torah says, the Torah describes the case of Megadif. The person, a Megadif means somebody who angers and blasphemes Hashem. So what exactly is the definition of, Megadif? So you have a machloikas of the chachamim and Rabbi Akiva about it. Does Megadif mean that he says, now the Pasuk says that if he does the Mezid, then he's bringing a Chatos. Then he's Chayav Karis. And therefore, if he's Chayav Karis for Mezid, then it would mean he's bringing a Chatos for Shogig, but that's the usual rule. Almost anything that's Chayav Karis for Mezid, then there's a Chatos for Shogig. Now, so you have a machlokes. What does Megadif mean? Does it mean somebody who's just saying something against Hashem, or does it mean someone who's doing something? So now the Chachamim hold that that Megadif can't just mean that he's saying something, because he wouldn't be bringing a korban for that. So they have to understand that Megadif means that he's actually bowing to or doing something or doing some kind of action for Avodah Zarah. So Vatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Einit Chayev, El Al Dabar Sheyesh Be'Maisa, what kind of thing is he Chayev, a korban for, he were talking about Shogeg, when he does something that involves a Maisa, Kugun Zibuach, the Kitu Venisa Chishtachava, so any of the four Avodas that we've been talking about all this time. So the Pasuk says, V'Osa Achas Mikol Mitzvah Hashem, that he does one of the things that Hashem said not to do. Tosfos points out that's actually not the pasuk that we learn it from. It's actually a different pasuk, but in any case, the point is there has to be a maisa, say the chachamim. But Omer Shlokish man tana ishtachava, and Rish Lakish says, which tana would it be that says that he'd be chayav a chatas even for bowing to Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Akiva he, the Omer loyva in and maisa, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Megadif is that the definition of Megadif is it's enough that he speaks against Hashem, and therefore, and for that alone, Rabbi Akiva holds he's chayav a chatas. There's no real mice involved. There's just talk. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva holds that that's enough. So now, then, all the more so, bowing would be considered enough of a mice that Rabbi Akiva would be mechayev and mechatas for it. Therefore, Miklal, so we see that Rabbi Akiva would hold that he's chayev mechatas for bowing. Now, Rabbi Akiva would say, for example, if let's say he only thought about Avodah Zarah, he wouldn't be chayav for it, but Rabbi Akiva says once he already speaks, then that's enough to be mechayav hamachatas. So therefore, if he speaks, and that would include also if he's saying to the Avodah Zarah, Keliata. However, Miklal, Rabban and Sabri, but in a Maisa, we see that the Chachamim hold that he needs an actual Maisa. So they would say that even just bowing, even just bending at the waist, would not be considered enough of a Maisa, and he can't be Chayav a Korban for that, let alone speaking. So how can Rav say as a blanket statement, Kivin Sha'omala Keli Ata Chayav, it comes out that what we're saying would be only according to Rabbi Akiva and not according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, fine. Ki koma Rav Nami le Rabbi Akiva koma. Fine. What Rav is saying is really only according to Rabbi Akiva. It's true. The Chachamim would disagree with that and say he's not chayev a chatos for saying keliata, because they wouldn't consider that they wouldn't consider that enough of a maisa. So in that case, then, it would mean in the whole sugya before, when we had ishtachavah, l'chalak yotzos, so we would say, in other words, that it's teaching us that a person is chayev individually for each one, but according to the chachamim, it really wouldn't be chayev for ishtachavah itself, because there's not enough of a maisa, and that's not enough to be mechayev in a korban.
So the question is, well, Rabbi Akiva, Pshita. Well, according to, if you're talking about according to Rabbi Akiva, then of course he's, of course, if Rabbi Akiva holds he's Chayev as Megadif, Haina Megadif, and that's exactly Megadif, where he's saying something. So Megadif would be where he's cursing Hashem, or he's speaking in honor of, you know, speaking and saying that I'm accepting Avodah Zarah, or whatever, and Rabbi Akiva holds exactly that as the definition of Megadif, and holds that he's Chayev Kores or Achatas for it. So then what is Rabbi, what's Rav Chiddush? What's Rav's Chiddush? The answer is still Maor Tema, you might have thought, Ad Kan, like Mechayev Rabbi Akiva, Korban, Elov Megadif. You know when Rabbi Akiva is being Mechayev a Korban, it's specifically by Megadif, where he's blaspheming and cursing Hashem, Dichtiv Bekores, where after all, the Pasuk does say Kores in connection with that. First, the Pasuk describes a person worships Avodah Zarah, and it says that he brings a chata, b'shoigig, and it says he brings a chatas for it, and then it continues, and talks about the Megadif. So therefore, so you can say that back to back, it talks over there about the Korban and about the Megadif, so therefore we can learn from that, that it means that if he's Megadif b'shoigig, then he's bringing a Korban. But when it comes to worshipping Avodah Zarah in other ways, or when it comes to over here, when it comes to saying Keliata, which is not Megadif, actually means, so Megadif means blaspheming, means cursing Hashem, like what we learned a few days ago about Birkas Hashem. So then Rabbi Akiva would say that, listen, since it says right next to the concept of bringing a korban b'shoigig, so we'd learn if a person didn't know that it's also to do that, then he's bringing a chatas. But when it comes to saying keliata, deloik sibbe koris, it doesn't say koris in connection with saying any such thing. It mentions koris elsewhere about Avodah Zarah, but not necessarily in this particular case. A malois, so you would think that maybe not, maybe he shouldn't be chayim a korban. Kamash malon, therefore Rav is telling us, no, we do have a hekesh between saying keliata and sacrificing to Avodah Zarah, where for sure we know that's one of the four avodas, and he has chayev achatas for that. Dichtiv, because we find by the eagle, by yishtach v'loi, by yuzbachu, loi v'yoymeru v'goymer, they bowed to it, and they sacrificed to it, and they said Eli alekecha Yisrael. So we see that saying Eli Lekecha Yisrael is tantamount to bringing a korban, and therefore he's chayav achatas for it as well. So Rav is talking only within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but the chiddush is that you should know that Rabbi Akiva's opinion of what Megadif is also extends to this kind of thing of saying keliata. So I was going to say before, by the way, in connection with the whole discussion about Lois Sa'ovdem and what Abaya is doing with the various psukim that says Lois Sa'ovdem. So Rashi had mentioned the point that Abaya had said that one point is that it means that Abaya would say that he's chayav multiple, he's being over on multiple lavim if he worships the Avodah Zarah Shaloi Kedarka. Different achronim point out that Rav is contradicting, that Rashi is contradicting himself in various places. Earlier, a few dafim ago, on Samach on the Beis, Rashi had said that Lo Sa'ovdem includes anything that shows respect for the Avodah Zarah, like hugging and kissing it. And here Rashi is saying that it means that he's being over on extra lavim. And then in addition, in the Mishnah, actually Rashi had brought other psukim to say that he's not allowed to hug or kiss the Avodah Zarah, and he doesn't in fact mention Lo Sa'ovdem, so Rashi seems to be contradicting himself. So a number of them discuss that. Maybe there's actually a toast sofer in Rashi. Mar Shofar infers it by saying that if you only had what does Marshall say? That since in one place it says Lois Ishtach v'lahem Lois Sa'ovdem, and another place it's just Lois Sa'ovdem, so it can't be just hugging and kissing, because those aren't avoida, so it should just say Lois Sa'ovdem and not say Lois Ishtach v'lahem. The plus it could have said Lois Ishtach v'lahem twice, and instead of Lois Ishtach v'lahem Lois Sa'ovdem, here the Marshall would actually change the Girsa in Rashi, and Marsha tries to defend Rashi's original Girsa, and then And then, and there's different discussions about what exactly Rashi is doing over here with Loisa Ovdim in the different places, how we reconcile what Rashi is explaining. There might be a Madura Kama, Madura Basra in Rashi, or there might be other points as well about what Rashi means with his comments in the different places about what Abaya is doing with the Loisa Ovdim. One possibility is also in the Mishnah, Rashi may be explaining according to Rav Ami, and he is explaining according to Abaya. Fine. Getting back to the Gemara over here. Okay, so again, so we're saying that Rav has to tell us that if he says Keliata, he's already Chai B'chata. So that would only be according to Rav Akiva, not according to the Chachamim, and the chiddush is that Rav Akiva would include that in his definition of Megadif as well. Okay. Having quoted that pasuk about the eagle, where they said, Eila Elekecha Yisrael, so now the Gemara brings a drosha on that. Omer Rav Yechanan, Il Molei Vov Shebehe Elucha, if it were now like this, when they were saying, Eila Elekecha Yisrael, Asher He Elucha Me'eref Mitzrayim. He Elucha is in the plural. It means that they brought you up. So now they're talking about one eagle. So why are they using the plural? So if it weren't for them sticking in that vav and saying he'elucha rather than in the singular helcha nischayev rishayim shal yisrael kloya nischayvu rishayim shal yisrael kloya, the wicked Jews, meaning the Jews as a whole, would have deserved to be destroyed completely. Because in other words, if they had said he'elcha, it would mean that they're denying Hashem altogether, and they're attributing Yetzias Mitzrayim exclusively to the eagle. But now, at least like this, it means that they're sort of combining together Hashem and the eagle. They're saying that the two of them together brought us out of Mitzrayim. So that at least spared them from being completed, from being completely destroyed. So the Gemara points out Ketanoi. This is actually subject to a Machloikas Tanoim. Not everybody agrees with that point that by saying He'elucha, they saved themselves, because that creates another problem. Because Acherim Omer, Acherim, which usually means Rav Meir says exactly what Rav Yechanan had said, Ilmolei Vav Shem He'elucha Nischayv Rishayim Shem Yisro Ploya, but Omolei Rav Shem Meni Choy, but Rav Shem Meni Choy says, how does that help any? V'aloi Kolam Ashtatav Shem Shemayim V'dava Acher, isn't it so that anybody who combines together the name of Hashem with something else and worships something else together with Hashem is also uprooted from the world? Shenemar, as the pasuk says in our parasha, Bilti LaHashem Levadai, exclusively to Hashem. Zaveach LaLekim Yochram, Bilti LaHashem Levadai. All of our worship has to be exclusively to Hashem. So not Hashem plus the Egel, Lahavdil. So how does it help that they said he'elucha? That doesn't make anything any better. So what do we learn from the word he'elucha? Means she'ivu elekois harbe, means that the Jewish people wanted many other gods. They had the eagle there in front of them, but in fact they were looking to worship other gods as well, and therefore they use the word he'elucha for that. But not to mean Hashem plus the eagle. So when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the vav of Halucha is what saved them from total destruction, that's only according to Acherim. Rabbi Shimon would disagree with that. Now, Maharsha explains that everybody agrees that, of course, denying Hashem is very, very bad. Rabbi Shimon is saying that even just believing in Hashem plus Avodah Zarah is also deserves to be nekam and olam, deserves to be uprooted from the world, because it means that he's believing in Hashem plus something else. It's called a belief called shnius. But here, what we're saying is that here, what they're thinking is that Hashem, that as the Gemara says at the end of Menachos, the Kodolei Lekodei Lekaya, they thought of Hashem as the God over all the other gods, that Hashem is giving power to the world, Chas V'Shalom, through different powers. Now that's pretty bad, but it's not as bad as thinking that Hashem has to have a partner, so to speak. So in fact, Maharsho goes on to say that when later on, when Moshe says to Hashem, Re'ei, look, after Omer Eli, how asa'om, you're telling me bring up the people, Moshe is also using that as an excuse to defend the Jewish people. He's saying, listen, all this time you've been telling me you bring up the Jewish people, meaning that they thought that you, that they thought that you're delegating it to me. So now they thought in the same way that Hashem is delegating things through the eagle. So they didn't mean shittuf, which is a problem. We're going to talk more about shittuf, about combining this idea of Chas V'Shalom, of combining Hashem with something else. We'll talk about it more on Omer Beis as it relates to Goyim. A number of the Achronim point out, actually, the Chidah points out, and others, that if you have in Sefer Nehemiah, so we have there's Psukim in Nehemiah, we have a long tefillah that the Levim say over there, recapping all of Jewish history up to that point, and all the chesed that the Eibishter had done for us, a few of the psukim that we say in morning davening, and Vayivarech David, and V'chores, are taken from there. Atahu Hashem L'vadecha, Atah Siseh Shemayim, V'char Teba Avram, Zarkosim Shemata Al Yamsuf, etc., and we end off over there by Kriyas Yamsuf, but the psukim go on over there for 20-odd more psukim, talking about the great things that Hashem did for us, and the Rachmanis He had on us, and so forth. And now asking Hashem to continue having Rachmanus on us in Golos. Anyway, they quote the pasuk over there. They say that they said Ze Elekecha Asher Helcha. Here they use Ze, not Ela, like in the pasuk in Shmos, and Helcha rather than Helucha. So don't you have the same problem if they're using the word Helcha rather than Helucha? So there's a couple of different answers to that. One of them being Ben Yehoyada gives an answer that what it means is there were some people who were saying Helcha, but most of the people didn't. So most of them did say Helucha in the plural, which was saying over here according to Reb Meir means that they believed in Hashem, but also the Eagle, and according to Reb Shimon means that they believed in many gods. So Levim are quoting, that way that it was said, that some people, that a few of the people said it, but most of the people, in fact, didn't say it that way, which is how the Gemara is saying over here that they saved themselves by not doing that. A different, and Chassam Sofer gives a different answer. The fact that they're saying Ela, these, in Parshas, in Chumash Shmos, if they continued Hasher Helcha, then it would mean that the Eagle, they think, has all the power, means that they're denying Hashem completely, as opposed to in Nehemiah, where they're saying Zeh, then it means they're saying, fine, this one Helcha brought you up, but it still means that they're not denying Hashem completely. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, Darshan's in this connection you have at the end of Eicha, Al Zeh Hoya Dovali Benu, Al Eila Choshwainenu, means the Zeh and the Eila that the people were saying respectively, where some of them are saying Zeh and some of them are saying Eila. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. The bottom line is that from that pasuk by Ishtachbol by Yizbuchu loy by Yomru Eloi Lekecha Yisrael, we learn from that hekesh that at least according to Rabbi Akiva, that saying Eloi Lekecha is tantamount to bring a korban, and therefore that he's chayev to bring a korban to the avodah zarah. Therefore, if he does it b'shreigig, he's bringing a chatas. And in addition, we're saying a drashan and over here that it's according to the mayor, at least it's a good thing they said he'elucha. Otherwise, they would have been in real trouble. Getting back to, so now, the Mishnah had said, Avalam of Gafaf v'amanashik v'amachabed v'amarabetz chula, if a person hugs or kisses or sweeps or sprinkles water to lay down the dust in front of the Avodah Zarah. So those are all things. By the way, Tosfos points out, as far as this Meshat of Shem Shemayim, but Dover Acher, you have, for example, a Pasuk, when they're fighting against Midian, that says Cherev LaHashem LeGidon, they say the sword for Hashem and for Gidon, isn't that Shitruf? And the answer is no. The same way as when the Jewish people ask Mechila for Moshe, Dibarnu BaHashem Vavach, we spoke against Hashem and against you. They're not doing it in a way of divinity. They're not saying we worship Hashem and Gidon. They're not saying we worship Hashem and Moshe. They're mentioning out of respect to the both of them. So therefore, that's fine. So the Mishnah had said, again, that if he hugs and kisses and does these other things, and then the Mishnah, then he's over on a loy sasa, and then the Mishnah had said that, if he makes a neder or a shvua in the name of Avodah Zarah, then he's also over on a loy sasa. So the Gemara says, Ki Osir Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rav Elazar, he said that Rav Elazar had said, Al Kulam Loike, all of these things we mentioned in the Mishnah, the hugging, the kissing, the sleeping, etc., even though he's not Chayav Mesa for it, he would be getting Malkus for it. Chutzme, I know the Bishmoy, I'm a Kayim Bishmoy, with the exception of somebody who makes the Neder and the Shvur, or the Shvur in the name of Avodah Zarah. Those he wouldn't be getting Malkus for, says Rav Dimi. Now, the question is, why would it be that he wouldn't get Malkus for that? On the face of it, it must be, on the face of it, is because the Lav She'in Me'maisa, as we were just saying before, the saying Keliata, or here, saying a Shavua in the name of Avodah Zarah, is not an actual Maisa. And the usual rule is a person gets Malkus only for a Lav She'yesh Me'maisa. Well, Hani Nami, Lav Sheva Klolasu. Well, in that case, why should he be Chayev for the sweeping or the hugging or the kissing or whatever? Isn't that a Lav Sheva Klolas, namely that we have a general statement in the Torah from which we learn many different things that you're not allowed to do? So you have the Pasuk, Lois Selchu Achre Lekim Acherim, you have the pasuk al tifnu el ha'elilim. So you have different psukim where, again, if it's not the normal way of worshipping the Avodah Zarah, then he wouldn't be chayav for that. Here you also have more of that discussion that we were talking about before about what exactly Rashi holds about what we're doing with the various psukim of Lois Sa'avdein and so on and so forth. So that discussion comes into here as well. Anyway, the point is that it's called a lav shebeklolus because we have one lav that includes many different things. So again, Rashi is saying over here it means lois sa'ovdein, and primarily the Ran explains that means avodah shedarka b'kach, means primarily the kinds of avodah that's normally done for the avodah zara. So it's considered a lav shebeklolus. It includes many different things. The Ramban mentions the pasuk that Rashi also mentions lois selchu achrei lekim acherim. In any case, so it's a lav shebeklolus. It's a lav that contains within it many different things. And such a thing, a person doesn't get malchus for. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, here's an example of a lav shebeklolus. You have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, lois soichlu al adam. And from that, we learn many different things. The first thing, minayim ma'ochem and abehem akodim shekeitzeh nafsha. How do we know if a person eats meat from an animal before its life has completely left it? So he shechted it. It's still thrashing and moving around. And he's allowed to cut off a piece of meat from that point. From it at that point, a goy is not. But he has to wait, even the yid has to wait until it finished moving around, and only then can he eat that meat. How do we know that if he doesn't, if he eats it at that point while the animal is still moving around, that he's over on the loisa, therefore the pasuk says, don't eat on the blood, meaning when the life is still in the animal. Dover acha, another explanation, loisochu al adam, means loisochu. Don't eat the meat of the korban when the blood is still in the mizrach, is still in the basin before it's been sprinkled on the mizbeach. Another one, Rav Dosa, minayin shein mavrin haharuge beistin. How do we know that when a person is executed by beistin, they don't do a sudas havra for him? We talked about before. We learned earlier, we learned in the previous parak that they don't do avelos for him, only oinanus. So part of the avelos is the sudas havra, the first suda that they give to the avelim after the levaya. So how do we know we don't do that for somebody who was executed by beistin? Again, talmud loymer like soichlu al adam. Don't eat because of the blood, meaning the person whose blood was spilled. Now Rashi explains that doesn't specifically mean Harugi Beistin, but Svara would tell us. Obviously, what's it going to mean? You don't do a Sudas Avra for anybody who died. Of course you do. So it means in this case where they need an extra kapara, then you don't do that. Anyway, so that's another thing we learned from my Sokolal Adam. Another one is Rabbi Akiva Omer Minayin the Sanhedrin Shehogu Asanefesh Shein Tomen Klum Kolos Ayom. How do we know that on the day that the Sanhedrin executes somebody, they don't eat anything all that day? Again, L'tam Loim L'Seichel Al Adam. And Omer Rabbi Yechanan Az Horlov and Sora Remoda Minayin. Where is there the warning in the Torah for a Ben Sora Remoda? You have the punishment of the Ben Sora Remoda in Parshas Kisetze, but you don't have anywhere on the face of it. You don't have anywhere explicitly in the Torah not to do what he did. So again, Talmud Lama, like Seichel Al Adam, don't eat in a way that's going to bring to blood, that's going to bring to him getting himself killed. And in fact, therefore, he wouldn't get malchus for doing any of these things. Because it's a lav that includes many different unrelated things. Now, to be exact, by the ben soter remota, he does get malchus. There, Tosfos says that actually we have in the next pedach when we talk about the ben soter remota, we do learn exeda shava to learn when it says the yisru that they afflict him means that they give him malchus. So therefore, so that's an exception over here, and in fact, he is getting malchus for that. But other than that, we usually say that a lav shabbat klolus, a lav that includes in this case many different things. Another example of a lav shabbat klolus would be when the Torah says don't do this, this, or this. So then he's not chayav malchus for that. So here, where the Torah is saying lois ta'avdim, or is telling us a bunch of different unrelated things not to do to Avodah Zarah, things that show it respect, and things that actually that are the regular avodas that are done for it, and the regular avodas and the avodas that are not done for it but are done for Hashem, etc. So therefore, it should be considered a lav shabbat klolus. So why are we saying that he's getting malchus for this hugging or kissing or whatever? The Gemara says, you're right. Elaki also Robin Amarabalazar. I'll call him Ainuloika. You're right. A person doesn't get malchus for any of the things in the Mishnah, the hugging or the kissing or the sweeping or whatever. Chutzman, I know Devan Mishmoy, Bamakai Mishmoy. We're the other way around. It's the opposite of the way Rav Dimi had reported it. Says Robin, the other way around. He would get malchus for the swearing or for the making a neder or swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah, but not for the other actions that it said in the Mishnah. Well, then the question is, my shno ahanach deloy loki. Well, then what's the difference? He's not getting malchus for the other ones. We just said mishum. The reason is to have a lav shabbat klolus because we just established it's a lav shabbat klolus, and you don't get malchus for that. Hani nami lav shein meimaisin. Isn't noda and nishba also should be potter from malchus because it's a lav shein meimaisa? So Rav Dimi's version of it that he doesn't get malchus for that he does get malchus for the hugging and kissing. The problem was it was a lav shabbat klolus. Here, Robin's version that he's getting malchus for the swearing, then he should is also a problem because it's a lav shein memaisa. The answer is Hahu Kedav Yehuda, Dama Lav Shein Memaisa Loikin Olav. The answer is Rabbi Elazar's statement, according to Rabin, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a person could get malchus for a lav shein memaisa. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says about the Korban Pesach lo yaseh siru mimenu ad boker, don't leave anything of it over until the morning. That's a lav, don't leave over any of it. Then the Pasuk comes and gives you an esa afterwards that anything that's left over from it you should burn. So Rabbi Yehuda says that teaches us, therefore, he doesn't get malchus for leaving over from the Korban, because if Hashem is telling him, if you leave over from the Korban, make sure you burn it. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov says you don't really need that. That's not the reason why he's not chayav malchus. Because leaving it over, the lav shein memaisa, he didn't do something and it was left over. Well, we see from that discussion, Rabbi Yehuda Saba, so we see Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a person does get malchus for something for the lav shein memaisa. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person could get malchus for swearing or making a neder in the name of Avodah Zarah according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'd still be chayev. Now, interestingly, the Rambam paskins like what Robin is saying over here, that if he makes a neder or shvua in the name of Avodah Zarah, then he gets malchus. So the Rambam says, what are you talking about? Or Gemara says clearly, only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The fact is, we say, lav shein memaisa, you don't get malchus. So the Noisa Kalim and the later Mephoshim give different explanations why one point is the very fact that our Mishnah puts them separately. First it mentions the hugging and the kissing and the sweeping and so forth, and then separately it mentions Noda B'Shmoy, and Mekayim B'Shmoy is reason enough to say that the Tana of our Mishnah evidently holds that there is a difference between them. So fine, you can say that, You can say on what grounds is he getting malchus, but nevertheless, that would be a reason. Nevertheless, he would still be getting malchus. One point is maybe avodah zara is unusually strict because hukshal cholatara kula, or because anyway it's a shavua l'sheker, and anyway a person makes a shavua sheker, he's chayev even though there's no ma'isa. So the same way if he's swearing in the name of avodah zara. So in any case that's how the Rambam paskins. He is potter from malchus for the hugging and kissing and so forth, but he is chayev for the noder and the nishma. Okay. Now, so let's analyze that poem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said a noder b'shmoy, v'amakayim b'shmoy, hareze b'loy seseh. If a person makes a neder or shvua in the name of a desire, then he's ovan aloy seseh. So, hanodah b'shmei b'amakayim b'shmei menolon. Where do we know that there's a loy seseh against doing those things? So, the Tanya, we learn in a braisa, the pasuk says, in this week's parasha, v'shem of akim acherim, loy seskiru, do not mention the name of other gods. So, what does that mean? Shaloy yoyma odom l'chaveru shmoy li b'tzad avodis k'chavim ploynis. For example, don't tell somebody else, wait for me near the avodah zarah, like to use it as a landmark. So it means that. Lo yishama al picha, and then when the pasuk continues, that same pasuk continues, it should not be heard on your mouth. That means shalo yudur b'shmoy v'lo yikayim b'shmoy. It means that a person should not make a neder or shvua in the name of avodah zarah, because then he's causing it to be on his mouth. The lo yigrim la'achirim, and also he shouldn't be causing others, namely goyim, shiyidru b'shmoy v'yikayim b'shmoy, that they should be making a neder or shvua in the name of avodah zarah. Lo yishama is in passive form, meaning it should not be caused through you that a goy is making a neder or shvur in the name of avodah zarah. Tosfos actually points out that even though it says, even though we're saying that lo yishama al picha includes several different things over there, why don't we call it a lav shebeklolus, as we just learned. So it shouldn't be chayiv malchus for it. But basically it's all the same thing. He's causing the name of avodah zarah to be mentioned. On the other hand, if we only, Tosfos points out, if it only said lo yishaskiru, then you would think that it means only swearing. You wouldn't realize this din, for example, not say to somebody, wait for me, we're going to meet by this avodah zarah. Also, Tosfos points out, the fact is, the Gemara is going to point out soon that you are allowed to mention an avodah zarah, whose name is written in the Torah, so we need both psukim, lo yishaskiru, don't mention names of avodah zarah, with the exception of the ones mentioned in the Torah, but lo yishama al picha, you're not allowed to cause that should be mentioned for a neder or shvua, any avodah zarah, whether it's mentioned in the Torah or not. So we learn those from the Pesukim. Dover Acher, another explanation, Lo Yishama Al Picha, Azhor L'Mesis L'Madiach. Another point is the words Lo Yishama Al Picha, it should not be heard from your mouth, is also, this is where the Torah is giving a warning to not be a Mesis L'Madiach, not to try to convince other people to worship avodah zarah. Because after all, again, we have the punishment for it is listed elsewhere in the Torah. But we wouldn't necessarily have a clear azhara for it. So we need this pasuk also to tell us that. So again, Tosfos says not a lav shebeklolus. The general meaning of the pasuk is don't mention avodah zarah in any of various ways. That includes mentioning it as like saying wait for me by the avodah zarah. It includes mentioning it as the swearing by it, and it includes mentioning it as convincing other people to worship it. Okay, the Gemara asks, Mesis, why would you need a pasuk? What do you need this pasuk to tell us about a Mesis? The head yuksiv, Beiv Choyso Yishmu V'Yirov, remember? The pasuk says clearly that the Mesis is put to death and everybody should hear and they should be afraid and not do such a thing again. So you don't need the pasuk. So that itself constitutes a lie. They should see it and they should be afraid. And they won't do this again. So that means there's the lie. Don't do this kind of bad thing of convincing people to worship avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela azhor l'madiach. So you're right. You don't need the pasuk l'yishama al picha to tell us about a mesis, but you do need for a madiach. A mesis goes and convinces one person or a small group of people to worship avodah zarah. A madiach does that to a whole city, where if they listen to him, they become an irani dachas. So they have different dinim after all. So you need a separate pasuk to tell us that you're not allowed to be a madiach, and that pasuk is l'yishama al picha. Okay. Next, we said, He said you're not allowed to cause that another person, that a goy, is going to make a neder or shvur in the name of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Messiah l'avur d'shmul. Well, that didn't then supports what the father of Shmuel says. D'amar avur d'shmul, also l'odam sh'yasa shutfus ma'ovid k'chavim. A person is not allowed to make a partnership with a goy, shema yischayev lo shvua, because it might happen as a result of an argument about the partnership, about the business deal or whatever, the goy may end up having to take a shvua, v'nishba b'avodas kechavim shaloi, and he's going to wind up swearing by his avodah zarah. V'atoda amar lo yishama apicha, and here the Torah is saying it should not be heard because of you. So therefore, don't be causing him. Don't be in a partnership with him in the first place, where it's going to wind up that he's going to do that. Now, so what happens? So that's what we're saying. What happens that you that's what we're saying? Then you shouldn't do that in the first place. What about if he did make a partnership with a goy? Then what happens? So in Tosfos over here, the Rashbam says that it means if you're not even allowed to make the partnership with him, then yes, you're talking not allowed to accept the shvur from him. Meaning, if you were over on this and you were in a partnership with a goy, and now he wants to swear, then the Rashbam says Yitaka wouldn't be allowed to accept it. You would have to say, well, look, either you're going to swear in Hashem's name, or I can't accept the Shavua, and if that means that I have to take a financial loss because you're not going to be willing to pay, then so be it. On the other hand, Tosva says that maybe you would be allowed to accept the Shavua from him because it's called Kemasul Miyadim, like you're saving Jewish money from them. Rabbi Natan continues also to point out in Tosfos, another distinction is, anyway, because nowadays, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan says, nowadays, the Christians, they don't swear by their actions, they don't swear by actual Avodah Zarah. What they're doing is they're swearing by their saints. And the saints say they consider them holy people and all that, but they're not really considering them gods. Unlike if they were to swear in Yozel's name, maybe it would be different. But here, where they're swearing in the names of their saints, then Rabbi Natan says that's not considered what we're talking about over here. He's meshat of shem shemayim b'davar acher. Fine, Tosfos says a goy is allowed to be meshat of shem shemayim b'davar acher. There is a bit we talk about in Omer Aleph that a yid can't, but Tosfos is saying over here that a goy could. Now there is a lot of discussion about that. Whether when we're saying that it means that goyim are allowed in shittuf, does that mean that they're even allowed to worship the shittuf? Meaning, in other words, here when they have their trinity, they have Hashem plus Lahavdo Yozel and whatever else, would that be mutter for them? The Ramah learns, and so do a number of other poskim, that yes, it means according to Tosfos that it's not Avodah Zarah for them to believe in such a thing. So it would be Avodah Zarah for us, but not for them. They can be Bnei Noach, even though they believe in Christianity and the Trinity in that. On the other hand, there are a number of Mephoshim, a number of poskim, who say that no, what it means is they're also in Shittuf, that kind of thing would be Avodah Zarah for them. They're just not also to swear with Shittuf. So according to that, they would be allowed to swear in the name of their trinity, but they wouldn't be allowed to worship it, let's say. There's a big machloikas about that point. What exactly is mutter for Bnei Noach? And Chassidus, in a number of places, it talks about, according to the mainstream opinion, that they are allowed shittuf. A reason behind it would be, because after all, they get their hashpa through the 70 sarim, so as it is, they don't get their hashpa from Hashem directly, they get it through intermediaries, so therefore, if they're kind of saying we believe in Hashem and we believe in that intermediary, then it's not so bad. Whereas for us, where we get our Ashpa directly from Hashem, so then we have no business doing such a thing. And as Reb Shimon had said, on Omer Aleph, a person who does is Nekum and Olam. So anyway, so that's the point. When we say Lo Yishama Al Picha means he's not allowed to cause that a goy is going to swear in the name of his Avodah Zarah. So again, according to Rashbam and Tosfos, that would mean he'd actually have to take the loss rather than allowing him to swear. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, he would be allowed b'dieved to have him swear because matzul miyadam. And then you have different other points that are brought by different. The Rosh brings further about this. The Rosh brings from a Gemara in Megillah that mentions about one of the Chachamim that he says his special schus was he never partnered with a goy. So one possibility is it means everybody else was careless about this din of Avua de Shmuel, but this one Chacham Avua Bar Ihi was more careful. But then the Rosh goes on and then defends the Rabbeinu Tam's point that the Dievet he would be allowed. So Avua Bar Ihi went the extra mile. He didn't make a partnership in the first place, so that it shouldn't come to that. But if it comes to that, then the Dievet he would be allowed to have the Goy swear. And then the post can talk about different other opinions and different details about that. And again, you also have this whole machlokas as to what are they also in shittuf or are they mutter in it. More on this topic of mentioning names of Avod Zarah, the Gemara says, Ki Osa Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, Bos B'Kalnavai, he stayed overnight in a place called Kalnavai, and that contains the name Nevoi, which is the name of Avod Zarah. Amalei Rava, so Rava asked him the next day, Hecha Bosmar, where did you stay last night? Amalei Bekalnavai, and all the names of the place. Amalei, so Rava says, how did you say the name of the place? Voksi, the shame of the Kimacherim Loisazkiru, you're not allowed to mention names of other gods, and Nevoi is the name of an Avadazara. How can you call the place that? You should have changed the name in a derogatory way or something. Nowadays, you also sometimes have that, so Tosfos had said that the names of saints are not really considered names of Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, people sometimes try to be careful for that. Famously, for example, a town in California, which usually is called after a certain saint, has been nicknamed Simcha Monica instead. So sometimes they make an effort to change the name. There's a town in New Zealand, that has the whole name of the town is after Yosh. And after a church, and they call it, and Jews over there call it for short Chichi, standing for the CHCH that's in the name. So you have this idea of not mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah. With that said, the post can say, for example, if you have somebody whose name is like the name of Avodah Zarah, you'd be allowed to mention it. So you have, for example, you have these Goyish workers, these Hispanic workers named Jesus, you would be allowed to say that, even though that's the name for Yoshka in their languages. Anyway. So again, Rava is asking Ula why you're naming the place Kal Nevoi where it contains the name Nevoi. Amalei, so Ula tells him, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, Kol Avodah Zarah Maksuva Batorah Mutar Lahazkir Shma. Any Avodah Zarah that whose name says somewhere in the Torah, then you're allowed to mention its name. Where does it say the name Nevoi? Now you have Nevoi in the Torah, but there it's not being used as the name of Avodah Zarah. Where do you have it used as a name of Avodah Zarah? And it's in the Torah. You have a Nevi'im. Korah Baal Kurdis Nevoi. Baal is crouching down, and Nevoi is collapsing. Elsewhere, in the simple meaning, it means that the statues of these Avodah Zarahs are collapsing and falling. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that it also means it's making fun of them and saying like they're falling and collapsing, like they can't hold their bowels in. They're suffering from diarrhea. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that you can make fun of Avodah Zarah. Actually, the Gemara is going to mention that here also. Anyway, so we see that Nevoi is mentioned as an Avodah Zarah. Now, why should it be that you're allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah? How does that make it any better? So the Sefer Yireim explains because then it means that Avodah Zarah is bottle. So there's a sicha in Chelech Chof Gimel where the Rebbe talks about that. What does that mean? It's bottle. For example, Pa'ur is mentioned in the Torah, and it's clear in the Torah we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara that Pa'ur was still worshipped in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara long after Chumash was written. So rather, the Rebbe develops the idea over there that it means it's bottle in the Yid's mind. He's not saying it at all in any way to honor the Avodah Zarah. Fakert, it means the whole tumor of the Avodah Zarah in the Yid's mind has been taken away, and it's purely a thing of Torah. Therefore, he's allowed to say it. Mephoshim also explained, by the same token, a person is also allowed to mention names of Avodah Zarah that are not mentioned in Torah, but that he's mentioning in the course of learning. Here we have in the Mishnah, we mentioned Melchulis, for example, even though that's not mentioned anywhere in the Torah. With that said, actually, Tosfos actually in a couple of places explains that Melchulis is actually an alteration of the original name. The original name was Kulis, which means the praiseworthy one, and the Chachamim added the Mer, which means the opposite of. But when Avodah Zarah is mentioned in the Torah, like here, when Nevoi is mentioned in the Pasuk, then you're allowed to say its name afterwards. So therefore, Ula says, I can mention the name of the word Kal Nevoi. So the Gemara says, "Must be the Eloi Ksiva Lois." You're telling me if it's not written anywhere in Tanakh, you're not allowed to say the name. Must be Masharshi. Masharshi says I have a contradiction to that. We learn in the Mishnah in Zavim. So you have a Zav, you have a person who has a flow of Ziva, he becomes Tomei. Now, the actual, that when he be, any amount of ziva is enough to make him tummy, even the tiniest drop of it. However, then you have, it takes two times for him to actually become a zav, only one time. He's considered only a balkeri. You need two times for him to be a zav, and then if he has a third time, then not only is he a zav, but he also has to bring a korban at the end when he becomes tougher. Now, so you can have a case where he has one long emission that lasts as long enough to be considered two. So the Mishnah says, Ro achas meruba kisholosh, if that, and the definition for that purpose is considered to be the amount it would take to dip in the mikveh and then dry off. So if a person has a ziva that lasts that long, then it's considered like two, even though it was one continuous emission. So now the Mishnah says, by the same token, Ro achas meruba kisholosh, if a person saw one ziva which is as long as three normal ones, shohu kimi gadyon l'shiloi, namely the amount of time that would take to walk from gadyon to shiloi, or shiloyach actually is how it says in the Mishnah over there, shen shneitz vilos of Sipogin, which is the amount of time that it would take to dip twice, to dip once in the mikveh and towel off, and dip again in the mikveh and towel off. Harei's a zav gomer, then he's a full-fledged zav and even has to bring a korban. Now the word gadyon means a place of Avodah Zarah. It means a place where they were worshipping an Avodah Zarah named Gad. The Gad Yoin or Gad Yovan would be a place where the Yevonim set up an Avodah Zarah named Gad. And we see the Mishnah is using that as a landmark, even though it's a name of Avodah Zarah and it's not mentioned in the Torah. God nami michtav ksiv. So Rabbina says, actually, it does say God in a pasuk ksiv. Ha'urchem la God shulchan Yeshaya mentions people who set up a table in honor of God. So we see, therefore, that and so God means good fortune. So it means in other words, like the avodah zarah, the mazel of good fortune. So therefore, so we see it's mentioned in the pasuk, and again, therefore, the Mishnah can use it as a landmark. Okay. So further in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, kolitz and nusa asir, like we just said, any kind of litzonus, any kind of mockery is asir, chutz melitz and nusa davaris kachav nishaya, except for litzonus against avodah zarah, which is mutter. Normally, mockery, litzonus, the Gemara mentions in other places, is a very serious thing. It means that it causes the person to not take things seriously. It means that he starts thinking of Torah and Yiddishkeit and the Eibishter and everything as one big joke, and that's a big problem. But here we're saying litzonus of avodah zarah is allowed. Dichtiv, as the pasuk we just quoted, Kora Baal Kodas Nevoi, Baal is crouching down and Nevoi is falling down and splashing, and the next pasuk continues, Kosu Choru Yachdav, they're collapsing, they're bowing down together. Lo Yochlum, Lo Yuchlum, Malet Masa, they cannot extract the burden. Meaning, in other words, all the psukim are, so Rashi explains the word kodesh over here in kosu means to have diarrhea. So like they're splashing out diarrhea. So in other words, the pasuk is talking about Baal and Nevoi as if they're like people or animals or whatever that can't hold their bowels in and they're dirtying themselves all over the place. So we see the pasuk is making fun of them as though like they're so full of it that they're having a hard time getting it out and it splashes all over. So we see the pasuk itself is making fun of Avodah Zarah. Ochtiv, here's another pasuk. Dabru, doesn't actually say Dabru in the pasuk, but whatever. This is a nevuah. La eglois base oven, regarding the calves, the egloi azov, and base oven, which is a nickname for Basel. Basel means the house of Hashem. So instead of calling it in a derogatory way, base oven, the house of falsehood. Anyway, because of the eglois, of the egloi azov in base oven in Basel, your guru Shchan Shomron, because of them, the neighbors of Shomron are going to be afraid that that Shomron, the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim, is going to be captured. Ki oval all of Amai, because his people are going to be in mourning for him when Sancheirov and his army come and take the egloi azov away. Uchmorov. All of Yogilu and his priests, the priests of that Avodah Zarah, are going to be Yogilu, are going to rejoice over him. So Rashi says, like now, up until now, at this point, the Gemara is understanding that it means, but we're saying up until now, they've been upset. These Egloi Azov are constipated, and the priests, therefore, are sad about it that our beloved Avodah Zarahs are suffering. Now they're finally able to relieve themselves, and therefore, Chmorav, all of Yogilu, and therefore now, for the first time, the priests can be happy about it, that it's finally finally was able to, it was finally able to go to the bathroom, al kvoidoi ki gola minenu, because of its honor, that it went in golas from it, al tiki kvoidoi, al kvoidoi, don't mean kvoidoi, it's honor, but kvoidoi, the heavy burden that they had inside them. So we see, now they're not actually living animals, they don't, of course, produce waste, but the pasuk talks as though they do, so that's an example of talking about a verizara in a mocking tone. Elsewhere, Rashi explains, this Gemara is also brought in Megillah, Rashi explains the Poruch Mor of Olav Yagilu a little differently, that until now, the priests have been happy about worshipping these Angolim, but now they're gonna be sad that it's taken into Golas. Whatever the case, the point is, we see that the pasuk is making fun of them and comparing them to people or animals who are unable to relieve themselves, and then all of a sudden they're able to. Okay. Talking more about the Avodah Zarah that Jews were worshipping at that time, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv, pasuk says, another pasuk in Hosea, Now they do even more Averis. And of course, it talks about how Yerovam had convinced everybody to set up the Egle HaZahav. Now the pasuk continues. V'ata yesifu lachtoi. Now they increase their sins. V'yasu lehem masecha. They make for themselves molten idols, made by melting and pouring metal. Mikaspam, from their money. Kisvunam, according to their understanding. Atzavim, they're making statues for themselves. So what is this? What specifically those words, according to their understanding, the statues, what does that mean? Melamed shekol echad v'echad osad musirosei means that each person will make an image of his idol, umanicha b'kisei, and put it in his pocket. And whenever he remembers it, he would take it out of his pocket, out of his lap, umachabko menashka, and hug it and kiss it. So in other words, as it is, it was bad enough they had Avodah Zarah in their temples. Now everybody has their own little personal Avodah Zarah in their pocket. And Marsha explains, therefore, the word kisvunam, we can daushin as though it said kismunam, according to their picture, according to their image, like each person has their own little personal image of Avodah Zarah with them. So therefore, the Navi is criticizing them for that you're really getting so much into Avodah Zarah that you have these own little personal ones that you take with you everywhere you go. Next, that same pasuk continues. My zoyche odem agolim yishokun. The end of that pasuk in Hosea continues. Those who sacrifice or kill people kiss the calves. So what does that mean? We sometimes use that rhetorically to talk about people like Peter or whatever who believe in animal rights over human rights. So like they're going and kissing the calves, and meanwhile they're going and killing and shechting people. But the Gemara explains well along somewhat the same lines, but not exactly. So Rabbi Yitzchak from the yeshiva of Rabbi Ami. Explain. So he must show Avodas Kachavim knows the name of Bali Momin. The priests of the Avodah Zarah would look after people who have a lot of money. They want to be able to confiscate their money and use it for their temple of Avodah Zarah. Umar Ivim Esag Golim. So they have live calves over there. They didn't just have the Egle Azahav that are made out of gold. They have live calves there in their temple as well that they're getting ready for the korban. Voisins mus atzabim. So then they would make an image of a statue in the shape of this person that they want to confiscate his money. And meanwhile, the calves have been starved, so now they're going to go to this person. And when Amin Mitzadeh was saying, they would put the statue near the feeding trough where the animals would normally eat. So this way, like, they start associating this person with the food. And eventually, when this person is going to be coming by, then they would bring the calves outside. Kivin Shiroos, then the hungry calves would see this person, and they recognize him from the statue of him that was there. Rots and Acharein, and Mamash Mashin Behen. They would run again, they would run up to them, and they would start nuzzling against them, like they're asking for food. Now the priests would tell him, look at that, Avodah Zarah, Chofetz Bacha. Look at that, the Avodah Zarah wants you. Come, sacrifice yourself to the Avodah Zarah. It's obviously showing how beloved you are for Avodah Zarah. Now, how does that help? Take the money. Maharsha says either what would happen is maybe the rule was that a person who was sacrificed to Avodah Zarah, then his money is automatically given to the Avodah Zarah temple. Or maybe what it means is that therefore the guy would say, I don't want to be shechted for Avodah Zarah. I'll pay you lots of money to get out of that, and therefore they'd get his money that way. So whatever the case, that's Rabbi Yitzchak is explaining, that's this Zoyche Odom HaGolem Yishokun. So they would sacrifice people by having the calves kiss them. Amar Rava, but Rava says that it doesn't really fit with the words of the pasuk. Hai zoche adam agolam yishokon, agolam yishokon was vayach adam yiboylai. Then the phrasing should be, the calves kiss the person in order that he should be sacrificed. Ela Amar Rava, so no, Rava says, rather what the pasuk is saying, kol azivayach es b'noi la'avodas kechavim, when a person in those days would sacrifice his son to Avodah Zarah, Omar loy, Omim loy, the priest of Avodah Zarah would tell him, you doren gadol hikriv loy, look at that, you brought such a tremendous present to Avodah Zarah, your own child, yovav yishak loy, you have this chus now, they would say to him, to go now and kiss the Avodah Zarah. So zoyche adam, they sacrifice people for Avodah Zarah, agolam yishakun, and therefore they're being told, now you have, so to speak, this chus to go and kiss these calves of Avodah Zarah. So that was the kind of thing that they were doing in those times. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking more about Avodah Zarah in those days and different psukim about that. One thing maybe worth mentioning in this connection, there were the Knanim. Eventually, so you had the Knanim, you had the seven nations of Knan and Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, there was a group of them who moved to North Africa and then founded the famous city of Carthage over there. We find there were some of them who, there were the Girgashim who left because of Yeshua. Maybe there were others as well. Anyway, they founded a big important city over there called Carthage. And eventually, hundreds of years later, they had a series of wars with the Romans. They brought with them their Avodah Zarah rituals, including Molech and then burning children in honor of Avodah Zarah. It's brought in Roman history books that the Romans, and they themselves were pretty cool people, they were shocked at what they found in Carthage over there by their enemies, that they found that they sacrificed children to Avodah Zarah. So as bad as the Romans were, they found to sacrifice children, even they considered to be something beyond the pale. But he was saying that the Knanim did it, and unfortunately, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, some Jews followed in that way as well, until eventually, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the Chachamim finally got rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah by us altogether.